Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Wow, does that feel good? I don't know about you, but the excitement that was in the room before services was absolutely fantastic. To be all together as a family, here, again, inside, what a blessing. What a blessing it is to endure the last year. It's been a challenge, but with God's help, we stayed together and we're back together. So, great to see you all. Welcome to all of our guests. Welcome to a new member of our family coming aboard. God's family, it is truly a blessing to be here. As Mr. Fish, as Frank was saying earlier, our family has been riding a high. On May 23rd, Mackenzie, our oldest daughter, was married to Mr. Tim Chapiziak in Nashville, Tennessee, or just south of Nashville, actually. The months of careful preparation finally culminated in a beautiful day of love, of joy, and a special moment in time. A special moment that all of us were able to be a part of. A wedding between a man and a woman bound by God. It was truly beautiful. In preparation for this special event, the invitations had been sent out, caterers arranged, a wedding venue had to be found and prepared, singers and musicians found, the family prepared, the bride and groom prepared for this special day. All 6 months of planning and preparation was finally upon us on May 23rd. It was all that hope and all that planning. Suddenly, the day was here. Suddenly, I was walking Mackenzie down the aisle to marry Tim. Suddenly, the vows were made, and they were married. And just like that, something new happened. Something new happened in the world. There was now a new Mr. and Mrs. Chapiziak. It was now time to celebrate. Brethren, all of us have been called to a wedding, and there are plenty of parallels that can be discussed regarding what our family experienced on May 23rd and what the entire Christian family is going to be experiencing in the future when we marry Jesus Christ. Today, though, I want to focus on three ways the Apostle Paul encourages us, the Christian church, for our wedding with Jesus Christ. Today, I want to focus on three ways the Apostle Paul encourages the Christian church for our wedding with Jesus Christ. We will be reading a lot of scriptures today, mainly from the epistles of Paul. They were written to the Greek churches in Asia Minor. So if you're looking for a title for this message, you can entitle this message, Your Greek Wedding. The first point that the Apostle Paul uses to encourage us as a Christian church to our marriage with Jesus Christ is Paul encourages us to fall in love with the attributes of Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken time to just think about the attributes of Jesus Christ and actually fall in love with our God in heaven? Let's go to Ephesians 1. The Ephesus church, Ephesians 1. In verse 7, by the way, you'll probably hear a number of the same scriptures that Mr. Zajac had. I counted at least three, maybe four, similar scriptures that we both have today. Mr. Fish referenced another one, and I think the song may have had something to do with one as well. So it's been, I was X-ing things out as I was going. We may have duplicates here. Ephesians 1, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. To find a living being, a God, that is so gracious to us that he has purchased us, redeemed us with his son's blood. That's true love for us. Isaiah 43, I'll just read it for you. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, when you go through the pandemic, that's not in there. But we've been through a trial. You shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So one of the things that we can do in our, as we look to the attributes of Jesus Christ, is to realize that he and he alone redeems us with his blood. And that's beautiful. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God strengthens us as well. He not only redeems us, but he gives us strength. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if Christ Jesus is in heaven, and he is our Lord, we essentially have that, we are a part of that community in heaven, because we are his. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's the being we worship. I'm excited about that being. Ephesians 3:15 says, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a God I can fall in love with. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children. Verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. That is a wonderful God. He loves us. Galatians, the city of Galatia. Galatians 5:22, talking about the attributes of his Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. For a Brown, there's actually, in our Bibles, there's actually two long-sufferings. That's how long-suffering God has to be with us. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wouldn't you want to be married to that being? That's the perfect being to be married to. The Apostle Paul encourages us to fall in love with that being. The second point that the Apostle Paul encourages us as we prepare for the wedding with Jesus Christ is he encourages us to be wise in our preparation by how we live our lives before the wedding to Jesus Christ. At the wedding in Tennessee, it was an interesting site where the wedding was performed. It was actually out in the country. There was a main road, and there was about a quarter-mile driveway that led up to the reception area, and then slightly down the hill, a pavilion where the wedding happened. So you had this pavilion, and it looked out over this great vista, and a road was out there a little bit, and a driveway wound its way up. It was really interesting. As the entire wedding was, before the wedding was going on, there was a lot of bustling going on, and people parking their cars and talking and all that kind of good stuff. And then things get a little bit more serious when the wedding is about to start. What I didn't know is that because there's about a quarter mile driveway down to the main road, they don't want any cars coming up to the pavilion at the last second or during the ceremony. So the wedding planner, actually about a quarter mile away, She uses a walkie-talkie, and she tells a person, an attendant, down by the main road, close the gate. Close the gate, don't let anybody else come up the driveway. We don't want anything interrupting the ceremony. Well, that's exactly what they did. They closed the gate and nobody could get through because the ceremony was happening. The bride came down the aisle, vows were exchanged, it was a beautiful sight. People got up afterwards, it was exciting, and then all of a sudden you saw four or five cars drive up the road. They had finally opened the gate, but those people never got to see the wedding ceremony. They weren't a part of that ceremony. The Apostle Paul encourages us to be wise in our preparations now, in the way that we live our lives, so that we can be there on time for that wedding with Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew 25, please. Matthew 25 and verse 1 says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Verse 3, those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They hadn't prepared. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut." The gate was closed. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." How seriously are we taking our calling today? Are we actively using the Holy Spirit? Are we actively in love with Jesus Christ right now? We have to be about the work of God now and be filling our lamps with that oil. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5. "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Now is the time to be sober-minded. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." That hope of meeting Jesus Christ and being married to him, that resurrection. My question to you today, is something prohibiting us in our walk with God? If so, let's get rid of it now. Let's use this time between now and trumpets to get rid of those things that are not godly. Ask Jesus Christ for the help to get rid of it. He doesn't expect us to be perfect on our own. He just asks us to reach out to him, to be in love with him, so that he can help us get rid of those things. He is there to help us. He will provide us with the wisdom. We heard about that today. If we are humble and looking to him for guidance. Now is the time to do what we can in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 34. Tying in with the theme of encouraging us to use this time wisely, Matthew 24 says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Now is the time to prepare. That's the heart that God's looking for. That's the heart that God can use to put oil in your lamp. The Apostle Paul encourages us to do that now. Let's go back to a Greek city, Ephesus. Ephesus 5, please. Ephesus 5. We have the weekend of Father's Day here. Ephesus 5, verse 25. I think Mr. Zajac used this one. So I think God wants us to really pay attention to it. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. I believe those words were read on May 23rd in a little town south of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. They resonate today. On the day before Father's Day, this is a responsibility that our Savior has given to all married men, to love their wives as Christ loves the church. That's someone to fall in love with. Point number three, the Apostle Paul encourages us to redeem the time God has given to us that we remain steadfast in the faith with Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul encourages us to redeem this time that God has given us. Christ hasn't returned yet, so what are we doing to redeem that time? We talked about some of the things that we can do in the second point, but what else can we do to redeem that time and stay steadfast in our faith in Jesus Christ? Let's go to Ephesians 6, please. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We can pray for each other. Constantly praying for each other. I love praying for little Will. It just puts a smile on my face when I think of him running around like he was running around out here and in the playground and all that, just seeing Will run around. And praying for Will is just it's fun. I like doing it. And praying for John and Jenny, the whole Garnett clan, that's a wonderful thing to keep in mind. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, continually, earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. The Apostle Paul is encouraging us to redeem the time that we have now by continually being earnest in our prayers. Well, how else can we redeem that time? How about by what type of music we listen to? Sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? What kind of music do you listen to? I was bombarded on the way to church with a number of different songs. I don't know exactly all the titles. One was a rap song, but I think it had a Christian thing to it, maybe not. It was kind of fun and uplifting. I'm not a big rap guy. But there was a number of other Christian songs that were played. They were a lot of fun to listen to. That was a lot of fun. Ephesians 5:15. I think Mr. Zajac used this one as well. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In other words, there will ultimately be an end of us walking around on earth in this flesh. Days are evil. It's not going to last forever. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. We heard some beautiful music here today. What are we listening to throughout the week? Is it inspiring? Does it point us more towards God? Does it uplift our heart towards God? Or does it kind of push us more to the secular side, where it's not really God-related? It's more earth-related. Let's find the music that's going to uplift us and point us to God. How about how we spend special time with God? Have you ever thought about having dedicated special time with God? When we were newly married, Gina came up to me one day, and I can admit that I was fairly obtuse to this subject. She said, "I'd like to have a date night." And I said, "Date night?" She said, "Yeah, you know, when we get dressed up and we go out together and we go on a date." And I thought to myself, well, we're kind of married. I thought the dating thing was over. I don't know if I verbally said that because I'm standing here today. If I had verbally said that, I don't think I would be standing here today. I think she probably would have taken my scalp and nailed it to the wall. So I'm here. But date night is designed for a husband and wife to get away from everything else, get away from the kids, go out, get dressed up, go for a nice dinner, just go for a walk, do something. Probably not a walk, honey. Definitely get dressed up, go for dinner, maybe a movie. Something special where the guy treats the gal special, and it's fun, and it's uplifting, and it's spending time together. Doesn't have to be anything great. One time during the pandemic, all the restaurants were closed. They only had takeout. And I thought, well, how are you going to do date night when everything's closed? So we went and I got some takeout trays and of food, nice stuff, good food. And I took Gina in the pickup, and instead of turning left, I turned right. And she got a little confused about where we're going. We went up to Glendora Mountain Road, and we turned off on one of the outlets there, turned the truck around. I had some chairs in the back of the truck. I put those on, and we watched the sunset, in the west. As the sun was setting, we ate our food. It was a little picnic, but it was time together. It wasn't a big, fancy restaurant, but I'll never forget it. And we were just spending time together. Have you ever done that with Jesus Christ? Just spend time with him? Maybe praising him in song. Maybe just meditating about him. Maybe it's a day of fasting. Whatever you want to go with, but just spending time reflecting, maybe reflecting on God's name and how wonderful all of the names of God are. That's the God that we serve. That's whose name we were baptized into. That's an amazing God. So one of the things that we can do is spend special time with God. God actually commands us to. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5. Because we're here today to spend special time with God. Just think, if he had not commanded date night or date day today, we wouldn't have taken it. We would have been just as obtuse as I was when my wife said, "Let's have a date night." We never would take the Sabbath day and make it holy. But God does, and he commands us to. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 12, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you." Verse 13, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. Why do you think God is telling us to not have any other activity going on? Because as a man, we'd probably be wondering, I wonder where my ox is. I wonder what my manservant's doing. You'd be thinking about work. But God doesn't want anything getting in the way of us spending time with him on the seventh day of the week. He just wants to spend that time with us. and he doesn't want anything else getting in the way. Why is that? What does he tell us to remember? Verse 15, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Remember that we're all sinners. We all come out of Egypt. We've all been affected by this world. And that the Lord your God, not ourselves, but the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. For us as Christians, that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. He wants that quality time with us. With God's weekly Sabbaths and annual holy days, God is telling us that it is special quality time that he wants with us, and that we should remember him during this time. That we should remember who he is and what he has done and what that wedding coming will be all about. So take the time to make the Sabbath day extra special with him. 2 Corinthians 2, city of Thessalonica in Asia Minor. 2 Thessalonians 2, that's a bit of a tongue twister for me. 2 and verse 1 says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, we ask you, verse 2, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by the Spirit or by word or by letter. Don't be anxious, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you, not by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Well, that hasn't happened yet. So we can use this time, and we can redeem this time with special time with God. Brethren, God has called us to be a part of the greatest love story ever written. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have found love, true love. You are betrothed to a loving, merciful God who has redeemed us with nothing else but his own son's blood, and has promised to return to this earth and give us life with him forever. Nothing is better than that. He has been in heaven for 2,000 years preparing a place for us, and he will return. That will be a joyous day when we are changed fully into the new creation. But right now, he's asking us to remember him. Spend time falling in love with him. The Apostle Paul encourages us to remember who redeems us, to remember his love for us. The Apostle Paul encourages us to be wise in our preparation so that we can truly wed Jesus Christ. We will be the sheep on the right. We should not be negligent in our walk with Jesus at this time, but be diligent, redeeming the time, being his disciples. And finally, the Apostle Paul encourages us to redeem the time now with constant prayer, with music, the music that we listen to and that we praise God with, and by setting special time aside for God, whether it's his annual holy days or Sabbaths, or whether it's special time throughout the week that you come up with just to meditate and be with God. But now is the time to do that. Now is the time to fill our lamps with that oil. Brethren, the Apostle Paul encouraged the Greek churches in Asia Minor to be ready for the most awesome wedding celebration that any of us can be a part of. Let's use his words to encourage us to fall in love with God. Prepare ourselves as a bride and redeem the time now to stay steadfast in the faith as we wait for that wedding day to arrive. Happy Sabbath.